prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I don't hear anything on the main studio either, so maybe they're just not playing. I don't know. Good morning. This is your friendly rabbit, and you'll hear me in a second, I think. There is the
Well, I don't hear anything on the main studio either.
There it goes. Okay. Yeah. So, how is everybody doing? This is not for public consumption. I'm sitting here doing somersaults with times and turning on the studio to see what's playing on it. And I did that, and I just didn't hear any bumper playing on the studio either. Strange. Yeah, well, I hope everybody's good. I see people hearing me. Good morning, Malia, Cat Dog Girl, Mace. Okay, I'm going to run over the list and see who I can say hi to. I see Meow. And Dawn's to you too. I see Mario. Capped Fred. She must be further down the list. I see Pat Rabbit dressed up in Cyrillic clothing. So I'm spelled like a Russian rabbit. I see Sari Sunflower, Crow One, Monster 383, Mickey, WH Devo, In the Kitchen, Fleaspiracy Theory, Comet, Gino 2017, Valerie, Cat Dog Girl, Melia, Blessing, The Real Deal, Ahmed, Wally, Blah Plus Two, The Right Reverend, Dr. Mr. Rowe, Mace 139, Popsicle Toes, Batsman, Gerber, Nessamania, and others who were in here shortly ago and who are not now, but they are due to come back, and we never know but that they're listening. So this is a Revolution Radio, and since we're entirely user-supported, please donate to us and help us continue, because it's not like you're just assisting in a bigger thrust. No, it is your support and your support alone that do it for us. And we've been doing it for over 11 years. 11 years, 4 months, and 5 days on this 5th of May, 2022. In these crazy times. Okay, Fleaspiration, okay. And I hope everybody is well this morning. We've got a new chat room, so y'all go check it out. Some of management has been putting the links into the chat here, the main chat we're used to being in, so you can go hook yourself up with it. You got to sign up, and you got an email. And you click something that's in the email, and next thing you know, you're in the room, and then you can play around and see what the heck's going on. It has a lot of potential, really, so it's not a bad idea at all. Whether it will remain to be an alternate room or if we'll leave this room and just use that one, I don't know yet. This is to be seen. But good morning. Now, you can help us. You can support us with your credit or your debit card, or you can become a patron over Patreon. And there are several ways to use your credit card. You can use DonorBox if you're across the water, or you can just use the regular pay. You'll see it. Just click on the support donations. You'll have to come if you want to help us out with support. You'll have to come to the room and click on donations and do it there. At least for most of them, unless you want to send a check or money order. Then if you listen to me when your pencil is wiggling away, you can write it all down. But if you want to send snail mail addressed to Terry Ackerman, 1793 North Eden, E-D-O-N, Road, Allen, A-L-L-E-N, Michigan, which is M-I, zip is 49227. Make out your check or your money order to Revolution Radio. That's what you need to make it out to. And give whatever you feel like giving. And so we have that. We have Bitcoin. We can take Bitcoin. We can take Ethereum. We can take Bitcoin Cash. So we are delving into three of the little arms of the crypto movement. We have Direct Pay North America only. That's a credit or a debit card. We have the Donor Box, and that's credit or debit if you're in England or anywhere in Europe or Asia, if you're in Russia, or if you're in the Philippines, Taiwan, Australia, you know, not on the American, the North American continental mainland. You can use that. And then, like I said earlier, you can become a member of Patreon. And that works very well. We have quite a few people who do that. So that would be ways for you to support us. And we have been getting supported well enough to keep us on the air now for over 11 years. And do remember, too, that you're not paying us. We're not taking salaries. We're not taking pay. All the monies go to drive the station forward, to pay the bills. And there are a lot. And it gets pretty complex running a station like this. We're the biggest of the internet stations. We have two studios and pretty close to 90 hosts spread across the two of them. We got something going for you all the time. 60, 60, 24, 7, 52, and 11 years and 5 months nonstop. So thank you in advance. And we also have a couple things to give back to you for your kind generosity. We have the Zazzle store, and you go there and there's a lot of little nice little things that you can give for yourself or gifts for your friends, you know, all the common perks. And we also have the new coffee club, and Ahmed Painter, the general manager of the station, is an excellent artist, and he designs these, and we're trying to get all the hosts to get in touch with him. Get on a Skype call with him, and he will sit down with you for about 15 minutes worth of time. So, well, it's time well spent, really, when you see the product and you see the end result. And your show gets a cup, and it's 11 ounces or 15 ounces. I have a 15-ounce of my own show, and I really like it. Now, they're all very good, very well done. We have that, and then we have the archives, and the archives are free now. If you ever had an archive account before, like we used to do when they were pay, do not use your old password or your username, okay? Just click archives, and you'll see that there's a new free username and password all set up for you, and you can go in there and find whatever show you want, and you can download it, or you can listen there. Just click on archives and have a look-see. It's very simple to do. So I thank you so much for your generosity in advance. And what's going on? We have the moon in Cancer. I always like the moon in Cancer. moon is 8:24 of Cancer, and the sun is 15:09 of Taurus. We are officially, according to the old Celtic reckoning, into summer now. Believe it or not, it has to do with the length of days and the way the year is set up, the amount of sunlight that's hitting the earth, and we're into the 90 days of summer, 90 or so. So while we celebrate Beltane, which is Gaelic for the fire of God, which is summer, the sum of all things, I guess you could say, we celebrate it on the 1st. It actually takes place a few days later, and in this case, it's today on the 5th, because the sun has to hit 15 degrees of any fixed sign for, according to the old Celtic reckoning now, for the season to change. It's all rhetorical. It doesn't matter what you call it or when you call it. We've been brought up thinking, yes, summer starts June 23rd or around then. And if you like to say that, say it. It's what it is. The sun's out there. It's shining. But we're into the 90 longest days of the year now. So that's good. Mercury just went into Gemini. Venus is Aries. We have a Mercury Venus sextile, which is nice. Mars is 15 and a half degrees Pisces. So the sun is making a perfect sextile to Mars right now. And the moon will later today get up on this. It'll be sextile the sun and trine Mars. Very good aspect. Jupiter is almost 29 of Pisces. Jupiter is screaming towards Aries. It will hit it on the 8th, I think, 8th to 9th. And then it will stay in Aries until, I forget when, but it's going to come to a halt. It's going to screech to a halt. It's going to turn around. It's going back into Pisces on retrograde. So we'll have Jupiter in Pisces and Aries the rest of the year, pretty much. Mercury is going to be going retrograde. I think it's around the 9th. I have to look real quick, but you know, just be ready for it. You'll probably hear someone say it in chat because other people look for this stuff too. Now Saturn is 24 and a half of Aquarius, and the three outer planets that, unless they're really tight on an aspect and more in someone's chart, I don't deal with them that much. But Uranus, the first of the three, is 14 and almost 49. Of Taurus, almost 15 degrees of Taurus. The next one closest in is Pluto, 28:35 of Capricorn. And you're going to say, wait, Pluto's the last planet. Well, normally it is. But if you see Pluto's orbit, it is such a tight oval that it swings in. And at times, like now, it's closer to us than Neptune is. Neptune is now the furthest out planet. And it's 24 and 41 of Pisces. So that's about the size of it, except for our nice little Mercury-Venus sextile and then our Sun-Mars sextile. Not a lot going on, but actually that's enough going on. That's kind of nice. And the moon will come pick up on it when the moon gets to 15 degrees of Cancer later today. And there'll be a tight contact, moon, sun, and Mars. So that's what's going on outside up there in the sky. So I have that. And, let's see. Throw in my little marquee again. Let's see, there's not much going on in the new chat room yet. It goes kind of slow because there just aren't a whole lot of people in it yet. Oh, there's a fair amount, maybe 20 or a bit more, but, you know, you're getting here and there's a lot more. Even if they're not in here, the potential dwellers here in our chat are rather numerous. So, and these are things that take a while. No big deal. I get up in the morning, and I'm just not good for anything for about an hour. It's all I can do to sit there and hang on and drink my coffee, but I'm reading. And then the next hour or so, I'll log into chat or something, and I'll start talking to people. But So there's a lot to read every morning these days. An amazing amount to read. And I'm going to share some of what I've read with you. Telegram is probably the most effective of all of them. It's not censored. And some of the sources coming in through Telegram are excellent. Some are in Russia. So you're getting real stories. It just doesn't do to listen to any sort of Western news sources anymore. It's like the great Satan is the West. It is the NATO West. The international community. This is not good. It is ruled, infiltrated by the Khazars. We have a problem. We have a big problem these days. And that's why I am so behind Russia, because they're standing up to it. They're doing something about it. And specifically in Ukraine, which was a real pigsty for the globalists, let's call them. And I don't care if it makes me popular or not, but that's kind of where I stand on it. Because I want freedom. I want people to do what they want. And Russia is no longer the great Satan they were in the Soviet era and times of the USSR. Much, much great change has happened in the last 30 years. Whereas in our case, the last 30 years have seen the whole West just slide into the toilet. I hate to couch it so picturesquely, but that's about the size of it. There's something I wanted to go over. I dealt with it last week, but I wanted to recap some things because I'm going to get to the last part of the article that I was reading last week. And it was an article entitled, I'm scrolling, it's a long article. That's why I started speeding up towards the end, and that was the best part. But the article is entitled A Brief Introduction to the Gypsies by Larry Romanoff from the Blue Moon of Shanghai. And it talks a whole lot about them, but then things get real interesting as we get towards the end of the article. And the last part starts with the history and origin of said gypsies. So I won't pick that up, and let's see where we wind up with. I'll be throwing in my editorializing, but it starts. Gypsies have long been among the most mysterious, exotic peoples on Earth, described as a race of nomads who have no real home. Gypsies do have their own language, Romani, and they identify themselves as Romani people. Gypsy history remained unknown for centuries, largely because they had no written language, and strangely enough, they had forgotten where they came from. Gypsies generally claimed to be Egyptians, hence the name Gypsy. Although these people were proven to not be Egyptians, the name Gypsy stuck, as well as the word gyp, as in getting gypped. The origin of the Gypsy people has been a subject of curiosity to historians for a long time. The current state of affairs, excuse me, seems to be that few historians know very much and are mostly guessing. Wikipedia tells us that, quote, genetic findings suggest an Indian origin for the Roma gypsy. Because Romani people or Romani groups did not keep chronicles of their history and or have oral accounts of it, most hypotheses about the Romani migration's early history are based on linguistic theory. End quote. Wikipedia also tells us that, quote, there is also no known record of a migration from India to Europe from medieval times that can be connected indisputably to Roma, end quote. Let me clear my throat here. Clean my mouth. This is typical of the speculation that still occurs today. Questionable genetic findings suggest gypsies may have originated in Northwest India. And questionable linguistic studies have identified a small number of words or expressions in the Gypsy tongue that bear some resemblance to Sanskrit. But if the Roma Gypsies did indeed originate in India, there is no known record of any migration. So the entire theory is simply a theory. These movements of people in history can be fascinating. It reminds us of the puzzle over the Hungarians, the Magyar. Now, you'll see the word Magyar, and it's spelled M-A-G-Y-A-R. And some people will automatically say Magyars, like there's a hard G in it. But it's a soft G, and it comes out sounding like a D. So next time you hear that said, you can correct them. The Magyars, since they are clearly not a European people, and their language is in no way a European language, yet they inhabit a country inside Europe. Many theories were presented over the years, all based on largely uninformed speculation, something we need to stay away from, until it was discovered that this nation of people were Mongols and migrated from Western Mongolia centuries ago to form a new homeland, more or less, in the center of Eastern Europe. So far as I am aware, no one yet knows how or why that would have occurred. Come here, you. Sorry. Okay, now I'm looking at this. I wanted to make something. I'm taking my reading glasses off, so I had to make the window bigger. It's starting to hurt my nose. To continue, in terms of the gypsies, and considering the timing of their relatively sudden appearance in all the countries of Europe, there were many such movements of peoples at more or less the same time, perhaps coinciding with the destruction of Khazaria and the partial extermination of the Khazars, and their also relatively sudden appearance in all the countries of Europe. Keep that in mind. We have a potential involvement with the Mongol invasions, which occurred at about the same time the Gypsies appeared, and also the Tartars from the Russian steppes. And in addition to the Khazars, we have the Kievan Rus and the Pechenegs and Kumans, who may have been the people who drove the Magyars, the Hungarians, into what is now Hungary. According to some Romanian journalists and historians, the Gypsies arrived in the area with the last Mongol invasions that dragged the Gypsies with them. Whatever the truth of this, and I pretend no expertise on this topic, says the author, there are many facts that suggest the Roma did not originate in India, but are some form of what would now be considered European. While I am not familiar with all gypsies everywhere, I have seen a great many. and none appear to be of Indian extraction. Some are swarthy, but many, if not most, appear to be some brand of European rather than Indian. Many could pass as Italian, Romanian, Russian, or Hungarian. Here's a photo of this pretty little gypsy girl. And then there is a fascinating article in the archives of the Atlantic magazine from February of 1866, in an article written by George Washington Hosmer, asserting that the gypsies are in fact Europeans. The author says they were referred to as Bohemians for hundreds of years, and that it is remarkable that the name has been so little considered in attempts to penetrate this mystery. He states correctly that the gypsies were nomads who dwelt in their wagon camps in the open country and were under a vow never again to sleep beneath a roof. They also refused obedience to any sovereign. Hosmer also states that while there are similarities in the language with Hindu dialects, the similarities are even better for a Bohemian rather than for Hindu origin. Here I quote from him. The Bohemians were Czechs, a branch of the Slavic race of undoubted Asiatic origin, and the Czech language descended from the Sanskrit almost as directly as the Hindu dialects did. He continues, here is a good reason why the Hindu dialects and the Gypsy tongue, if the Gypsies were Bohemians, should closely resemble one another. They were from the same parent stem, end quote. He says, quote, the Gypsy language is a mixture of corrupt words from the Wallachian, Slavonian, Hungarian, and other nations. These are the cognate languages of the Slavic race, all descended from the same source, and that also the source of, that is also the source of the Czech. The first list of gypsy words ever made was cited to prove an Egyptian origin, but they were Slavic, end quote. Now, when he said that about a Slavic race of undoubted Asiatic origin, that's not to mean that the Slavs are connected genetically to the Mongolians. If you get into the quote-unquote ancient teachings, Blavatsky and the root races, the Slavs belong to the Anglo-Saxon Teutonic. They belong to the fifth root race, and they belong to the fifth sub-race of the fifth root race, which probably means nothing to the listener. But what I'm saying is that they're white European style of people, regardless of the origin or different origins they may have had. They're much closer to the Vikings. Anyway, epilogue, where the author of the article says, I don't know if it is possible to make a link between the migrations throughout Europe of the Khazars and the Gypsies. But there seem to be some common elements that suggests the Gypsies might even have been a lower class of the Khazars or of people similar. Whatever the truth of this, and there is speculation on my part, the author, there do appear to be some common shared elements between these two peoples, the Khazars and the Gypsies. Both were driven from their place of origin and had no homeland. Neither had a written language. Both were itinerant, fiercely independent, vowing no allegiance to any nation and a distinct unwillingness to be subjugated or to assimilate. Both groups appear to have a long history of pursuing wealth by other than accepted means, even though the types of preferred crimes were different. Both the Khazars and the Gypsies indicated a natural ability to insinuate themselves into the authoritative structures to admittedly varying degrees, and both seemed to possess a faculty for creating personal immunity. Both had a facility for, quote, knowing more than most about what was happening in various countries, end quote. Think about that, because we're dealing right now in the West, the international West, with the predations of the Khazars, the name stealers. Okay, to get back. And of course, both groups were reviled for their behavior and subjected to repeated expulsions from almost every country in which they chose to settle. On a more sinister note, both groups appear to consider their, quote, lesser members as being expendable. In the 1960s and 1970s, many TV programs carried a kind of disclaimer at the end, where it said, any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, or actual events, or other ethnic groups, is purely coincidental, end quote. I could make such a disclaimer here, says the writer. And he goes on. I must confess that in the above commentary, I have unintentionally slandered the many gypsies by presenting a one-dimensional picture of the entire race. It is true that the descriptions above, while true and accurate, represent only a subset of gypsies. There are many today who have indeed assimilated to one degree or another, who are fine and upstanding citizens, and who do not deserve the characterizations levied above. This may be more true in the diaspora of North and South America than in Europe. This is a fascinating subject that rewards reading and research. But I would caution readers that on the subject of gypsies, there is a huge amount of uninformed rubbish on the internet, especially on their origin, social structures, tradition and customs, behavior. Much of this is almost at a high school level, so caution is advised. One website tells us that Romani social behavior is strictly regulated by Indian social customs, end quote, which is nonsense. And another that virginity is essential in unmarried gypsy women, also nonsense. Similarly, quote, one of the Romani traditions is to get married at the age 15, to distinguish between non-married and married women, is to notice that married women have their head covered with a cloth called batik, the symbol of married women, end quote. If so, I have never seen it. And then there's a huge reading list down here where you can get these books. The Khazars were the name stealers. And in 740 AD, they were forced to leave their, at least on a public level, to leave their shamanistic practices and religions, so to say. and become one of the Abrahamic religions. And the one they chose was Judaism. So you see these people talking about the Jews getting thrown out of all these countries because of usury and everything. No, it wasn't the Jews, it was the Khazars. Matter of fact, you'll be hard-pressed to find a real 2,000 years ago Abrahamic Jew these days who nominally would be called the Sephardic people. Oh yeah, there is some, and there was intermixture too, you know, and I'm making some very large generalizations, but sometimes it's better to do that, to get the big picture, let's put it that way. But actually back then, the Jewish race, if you want to, because then again, there's this huge mess about, well, is it a religion or a race? You know, that's gone on forever. But if you could call them something of a race, though they were actually Semitic, that is to say Arabs. But back then, they were very noble. They had some great, fine, elevated ideas. Maybe people didn't want to agree with their quote-unquote religious ideas as such, but that's kind of, by the way, it's neither here nor there. But the Khazars, at this point, have stolen the name. And so when you hear people screaming about Jews, they're using the wrong word. And it's misleading because the mind automatically goes to the Jews of the time of Jesus as a quote-unquote origin of where an individual might first have heard of them. And then you see the horrible, awful way that the Khazars have made everything and the way they have acted. Their behavior is just, and the two get conflated, and I'm just hollering about the general confusion and conflation of that. Because these Khazars these are nasty people. They were known as the blood drinkers and the bloody beards, and they would practice black magic of all sorts. And these are not the old-time Torah Jews. These are the Talmudic Zionist peoples who will live in Jerusalem and say they're Jewish and all this, but no, they're not really. They're coming out of Western Asia, Mongolia, Kazakhstan, maybe, but even the Kazakhs are not the same. And strange to say, you find some good ones. You find some good Khazars. You know, most people say, well, I know some good Jews. Well, actually, they're Khazars for the most part. They're the Ashkenazi Europeans, and those are the Khazars. And that is our problem today in the ruling structure and classes and what is being done and the amount of crimes that are being committed everywhere on huge levels with money. So think about that. Be aware of it. Because if you want to get into the chat room and start screaming about and at the Khazars, hey, I got your back. I really do. That's the problem. When you see filthy, obscenely rich people who got that way for no good reason, odds are they will be Khazars. And on a very great level, they're practicing the same kind of behavior as the gypsies who do it on a much smaller, on a micro level, whereas the Khazars are on a macro level. But the gypsies are, you know, picking pockets and swindling people and, you know, and the parasite class. But then again, it's dangerous to generalize because you find good ones. There are good, and then you find bad, bad people who are not, who are just any other race. So, that's what we have. So think about that, and think about the possible connection between the gypsies and the Khazars. Not that it's all that important, because we don't tend to know that many gypsies, but the behavior of the Khazars is essentially part and parcel with the behavior of the gypsies that we see put forth so easily, especially in Europe, I'd say. though I've never been in Europe long enough to get a feel for that sort of thing as regards them. But, okay. Now, let's see. Come on. Oh, well. yeah. It's just not good to practice that sort of sentiment or sentimentality, because there are so much better things to do. Pity them. They are deserving of your pity. But the hate is a waste of your own time. Time that is at this juncture very valuable. So, now what's going on? What's going on in Russia? What's going on in Ukraine? More to the point. Let's see, the red pill has come in. Hello, red pill. Yeah, but many Romanians are not gypsies. Willa, they're not. Though Romania was a country where they seem to have had it easier than other countries. Bless them. Best thing you can do is bless somebody. And otherwise, walk off. Leave them with your blessing, I would say. And so the first thing I look at in the morning is my telegram. And let's see who I have up here, just to give you an idea of how handy telegram is. I have Joaquin Flores. He's from California. He does some real good stuff. Very prolific. Patrick Lancaster is there. Links for his new YouTubes. I have Mr. Rowe. I have Rybar. And Rybar is a team of people who are centered in Russia. Probably some of them are elsewhere too. They put out prolific amounts of information. Then we have ASB Military News. Then I have Dude's News, which is Duke Guy. Then I have Russians with Attitude, who is also in Russia. But he writes in English. Thank you. Because Rybar writes in Russian, but hey, there is a handy little translate function in Telegram. Then I have Scott Ritter. And I have Moon of Alabama, which is American, with some excellent stuff. And finally, I have a Russian who doesn't put a lot in. Denzikul. It might be just Denkul, D-E-N-K-U-L. But he puts a big Z right in the middle, a capital Z, and I think I know why that is. Oh, before I leave the subject, back to the gypsies. They can be extremely beautifully talented. They're great fiddlers. They sing. Man, look at the Gypsy Kings. What a great group. I love their stuff. The Baliardo brothers and that whole family. My God. And if you ever see a gypsy-styled hurdy-gurdy, know that the gypsies hate hurdy-gurdies. It's more European. There's a Hungarian hurdy-gurdy. That's the king dong of all hurdy-gurdies. But, the gypsies are fiddlers. Nowadays, guitarists too. Guitars came later, but fiddles have been with us for hundreds and hundreds of years. And they're excellent. And I remember reading this one pedagogue. I forget her name. She's well-known. She's very, some people like her, some people don't. I like people like that, because sometimes I think they're saying some really neat things, and that's why they're not liked. And this is just about playing the violin in general. Yeah, but accordions are new also, Mr. Rowe. I'm talking about the old instruments, and fiddles outdate everything pretty much. But she's from Hungary, and when she was a child, she said that, you know, some gypsies would come by to do various tasks, the yard, whatever have you. And one day she was practicing her little etudes, her scales and stuff. And they heard her. I don't know, maybe they were talking through the window or something. I'm not really sure. And they asked her, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Well, I'm practicing my scales and my exercises." And they told her, "Just play the music." I loved it. And then they would come around and they were always asking for little scraps of wood. I mean, just little small scraps of wood. Nothing big, nothing, probably not even more than 3 or 4 inches wide. And it's Kato Havas. That's the name of the lady pedagogue from Hungary that I'm thinking of. And so they get all these little scraps of wood from her father. And either she or her father asked her, "Well, what are you doing with those?" And they answered, "We build fiddles." That's so cool. But yeah. So, I mean, they're tremendously talented people. Very crafty. And it runs the gamut, assuming there's a connection. And there probably is, if you could use the general bad behavior. I mean, it's not all Khazars. It's the Khazarian mafia, which is pretty much everybody up at the top of this country running this place, all the dual citizens in Congress and everywhere else, making these horrible laws, destroying the country. They run Hollywood, they run the music industry, they run the pharmacological industry, medicine, business. So, hey, you know, the country's been taken over, it's been infiltrated. It won't end well. However it ends, I'm not prepared to say, but it won't end well. So, I just wanted to throw that little addendum in. But let's see some of the stuff that I'm getting off Telegram this morning, because some of it's pretty good. I'll start with Joaquin Flores because I can read it easy. I don't have to translate each one. I'll go back to the start of the morning. Let's see. And mostly it has to do with the conflict. But here's one of them. I'll just go down the list because there's some good news in here. And it says, the European Union is not currently discussing the issue of stopping gas imports from Russia by that guy, Borrell. And Flores continues, the head of European diplomacy stressed that there are entire sectors of the European petrochemical industry that cannot work without gas. No, they can't. Anybody stupid enough to follow all these sanctions deserves what they get. Okay, then we have another one. Captain Sviatoslav Palomar, deputy commander of the Azov Regiment, says, quote, we call on the world community to evacuate civilians, and I personally appeal to the Supreme Commander-in-Chief to take care of wounded soldiers who are dying in agony from improper treatment. Give the opportunity to pick up the bodies of soldiers so that Ukrainians can say goodbye to their heroes. Respond appropriately to a critical situation in which the enemy does not adhere to any ethical norms, conventions, or laws. Speaking of the Russians here, destroying people in front of the whole world, guided by permissiveness and impunity. That's what the head Azov guy or Azov guy says. The Russians have been opening up these green corridors again. And again, and again. And another thing these Azov people were doing were trying to make deals. We'll give you 15 hostages for a ton of food, and I think they wanted ammunition, and they may not have used the word hostages either. These 15 people who are here for in exchange for a ton of food and ammunition and whatever, and that right out, that shows you it is a hostage situation, which we all knew anyway, but by saying that, they admit it. Bad, bad, bad. Okay. Azov stated their condition for releasing more hostages from Azovstal. And here is the exact thing I was just talking about. 15 hostages for 1 ton of food and medicine. And Flores continues. In the parallel universe of Western mainstream media, they're heroes, not hostage takers, speaking of the Azovs. But this specific quid pro quo being expressed here may be their undoing in the public's eye. This is clearly a hostage-taking scenario. That's what he said. And we have photographs of electrical substations destroyed on May 4th in the city of Lvov that have been published. The strike was carried out by high-precision sea and air-based cruise missiles. Lvov, by the way, in western Ukraine, was once Lemberg, Poland, in case you ever heard the name. Something about Pfizer here. There's a photograph of something, and some of the text is circled. But he says, Flores, what a crime against humanity. Pfizer knew their vaccines would kill babies through breast milk and never warned the public. The Roe v. Wade leak is a huge smokescreen for the genocide of newborns. The moves to allow abortions until an already born human being is a year old is not only sick, but designed to cover up the spike in infant mortality. He's got a good point. And well, I'm getting kind of close to the top of the hour. I'll wait for this. This is Pat Rabbit with Not for Public Consumption. And after me, after my show is over, we'll have Willow Andreasen with Willow's World. And maybe the mechanic will be around after her. And then Deacon John, Hijacker, and Dude Guy. Then we'll have Dennis Fecho. After that, we'll have the New American Dream Boys. And after that, we'll have Ice Age Conversations. And then we're into the roundtables. And this all depends upon whether or not I get my music. If I don't, I may just blow through the break. We'll see what happens. I may get up for a second. But after me, directly after me, because I'm on B right now, we'll have Mona Radler at 2 o'clock Eastern. And after Mona, you know, I'm not sure what we're putting on after that. Might be some of the newer Sean David Morton at this point, because it wouldn't really do to put on the old ones unless there's so many people that like to hear the old ones. I don't know. We'll see.
Yes, we will. I'm here to see if the breaks actually play. So you didn't hear the first break?
No, Mr. Rowe, I didn't.
Okay, because I saw the messages. Some people aren't hearing them. So I'm going to go ahead and work on it, because I don't think you're going to hear the break. It plays, but I'm going to initiate it now, and you know the audience will probably hear it, and okay. We'll see when hopefully we hear it again. So go ahead and do your show, and don't mind me.
No, that's fine.
In the back, unplugging wires and making a mess. Hang on.
It's nice to see you. I hope you're well. And you want me to keep going if I don't hear it, or just assume it's going to start, and so I should stop about 57 minutes?
Yeah, I'll tell you. You got 45 seconds, so okay. Go ahead, and I'll just tell you when it starts.
Okay, thank you. And then after that slot, we'll have Mario. And after Mario, we'll have Mr. Rowe. And after Mr. Rowe, we'll have J. Charles Parker. And after that, we're going to have a round table, probably. Because I don't believe we're doing the Dave Scott Spaced Out Radio at the moment. That could be subject to change. I'm not quite sure. But at the moment, I think we're using that slot for other things. And so, we'll see what happens. I'm idly watching my clock.
Okay, breaks are running now.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rowe.
It's no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda.
Okay, I'm assuming you hear that, right? Oh, you're probably off getting something. And you're on mute, but we'll continue anyway.
Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths. And because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew.
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's I've been thinking. Welcome to the Crypt.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Yes, we're back, and the hamster was running in the wrong direction, so it was literally sucking the sound out. So we had to turn the hamster around, and now his wheel is going in the right direction, so now he's pushing the sound out the way it should be. I'm going to drop off in just a second, but before we go back to Pat, I want to tell everybody that we have an experimental chat room. It's on an element.io app, but it's easy to get to. If you come to our normal chat room at chatsy.com, on the very top of the page in the little bulletin board section where it says click here for stream links, you'll see it says experimental alt chat, and then there's a link directly to there. You can also get to it from our homepage. At the top of the screen, you'll see the list where the Chatsy chat and standalone, and then you'll see the alternative chat as well. I'm going to try it with my show tonight by using visual aids, which is one of the things that we can do. You can do voice messages on it. You can put video directly like into it, like let's say from Telegram or something. And it's got a lot of extra features. So take a look at it, play around with it. There's just as many people in there right now as there are in the Chatsy chat room. And it's a tiny, tiny learning curve. Once you get used to like, oh, this is where I click for the users, or this is where I click for these options or whatnot, it'll be easy. The first time, of course, like anything, you know, when you go to a new place, you don't know anything about it. But once you learn, because you're a human being and you have memory and your brain works, then it becomes a little bit easier as you progress. Okay, that's all the rambling I have to do for now. Pat Rabbit, I'll get out of your ears. You have a wonderful show, and I'm out of here. Cha-cha.
Thank you, Mr. Rowe. And the rabbit is back. But not for public consumption, and I do appreciate his effort there. Now I can hear the brakes. This happens now and again. Has to do with, I don't know, maybe the wheel was spinning and the hamster was dead. Hard to say, but it must have been spinning in the wrong way, like he said. But anyway, you're listening to Revolution Radio, and as we are entirely user-supported, please help us out and get some of your love to us. It needn't be more than $3 to $5 a month, because if all the listeners do that, we're in high cotton, as we say here in the South. And, yeah, that works. Okay, I was reading from Telegram, and I'm on Joaquin Flores' Telegram. And the neat thing about Telegram, knock on wood, is that it's uncensored. Those who are up in power and would censor it, do not. Maybe because they can't. I don't know why. I'm scared to ask why. I just like it the way it is, because we can get some real information this way without having to worry about things. And it's more complete, and we're getting great information coming through Russia. Sources like that. I know there are more, but I have Rybar, and I have Russians with Attitude. I'm not sure where ASB Military News is from, and then I have this other one, Dinsey Cool, but he doesn't say much, actually. But anyway, you may have remembered a couple months ago, there were these videos. And I think they were, I'm pretty sure they were Ukrainian, pro-Ukraine videos. And it had to do with a pregnant girl in them. And you can always tell that there's something hokey about these. To say, if you've seen any of those with that idiot James Vasquez, he's got a new one out too. And you can tell it's just an absolute hoax. I mean, he's almost laughing while he's talking. He needs to look a little more haggard as bombs are going off and he's in a trench. But the problem, at least in his case, he's too clean. His uniform is too clean. You're not going to be in a battlefield situation and be wearing a freshly laundered uniform. I mean, if it is, it won't take it long to get smudged up and dirty, and he's just too clean. And there's just something about him that is, I don't know. But anyway, back to the pregnant girl. Well, it seems, I don't think she was working under duress. I think she was working through ignorance. For whatever reason now, it seems she has gotten back on the quote-unquote right side of things. And we have here where Flores writes, "You haven't forgotten Mariana from the Mariupol Maternity Hospital, right?" So, she moved to the breakaway Republic of Donetsk. She has a message for everyone who believes in kidnapping, held at gunpoint, and other boogeyman stories about Russia, the West, and its free press want people to believe. Because the original one, she was pregnant, and it was outside of a maternity hospital, and oh yeah, those bad Russians were blowing that thing up with people in it, and they were dying, and no. Those places were emptied out, and then the Azov moved in. So if you see any Russian rockets coming into that, it's because of that, not because they're out to kill people. It ought to be clear by now that that is not even close to what their intentions are. But anyway, to continue, maybe the opposite happened. After all, when the hoax was exposed and she didn't deny which elements were stage managed, she must have received many threats from the Ukrainian side. But she went to the Russian side. That's good. And we have something here. Ukrainian Nazi Oleksiy Seredyuk, or Seredyuk, says all we need to know. He gets Nazi battalion members to explain that they do not take prisoners. This is important to document. Note that the idiot says it's to avoid war crimes charges, despite making a record of their policy, an even bigger war crime. He says that this is a war of annihilation, and the entire Russian nation should be exterminated if we want to survive, a.k.a. Der Russ muss sterben, damit wir leben, or however you say it. My German's pretty miserable. And he also says that Ukrainians don't take POWs, prisoners of war. In the video interviewed at the end, the guy who says they don't need anyone lower than a lieutenant colonel and have, as a prisoner of war, of course, and have cemeteries, not prisons. This person is the infamous political troll Dmytro Korchinsky, leader of Bratstvo, and former leader of the ultra-nationalist UNA-UNSO party. And we have other weird stage propaganda where he says, oh yeah, this is another one of these. It's just, and if you look close, things are wrong. And again, they're too clean. These are not soldiers. They're not battle-hardened soldiers. They're actors. Where Joaquin Flores says, you can see this is an entirely staged propaganda effort meant to inspire probably low-functioning borderline cases among the Ukrainian population. Set aside the bravado and the whole take no prisoners, angsty posture for a moment. Think about all the technical things wrong with what you're hearing and seeing. I'm curious what you spot and how you explain its usefulness in a propaganda piece. And this guy is supposed to be Belarusian or something. Well, he'd be a turncoat if he were. But he's supposed to be Belarusian, and he's warning Belarusians to stay away or they'll die and this and that. And there's this whole stage set behind him where things are blown up and in tatters and stuff. And things are a little weird. He's not the only actor in this piece, but there's a lot of that. And then there's another one. And since most people hearing me won't see this, it's got to be a joke. It had to be from some comedy show. Because, and it's entitled Auto-Denazification. And the guy is explaining how a mortar works. It looks like he's inside. There's something about the lighting, though you'd have to be outside. But he's got the mortar unit here, the barrel, and he's explaining how to, showing you how to sight with it and get your angle right and all that. And then he throws the charge down in it. Then he takes the mortar shell and he puts it in front side down, which is going to make it explode right there on the spot. It's kind of funny. If you see it somewhere, it's called auto denazification. And it's got to be a comedy. And there's more of this horrible Ukrainian monkey business where a Ukrainian POW tells how when he returned from his watch, he was told his superior had shot a woman that he himself had served dinner to and questioned earlier on. These people just love death. They kill people for no reason at all. Never mind the fact that you're trying to kill the Russians because they're trying to kill you. They're just doing away with ethnically pointed Russians in the Donbass area because most of the people there are ethnically Russian and they speak Russian. And here's more from this stuff is coming from prisoners of war, Ukrainians that the Russians have captured. And he's saying, this soldier, he's saying, when we retreated, we had orders to fire on settlements. Those who refused to do so were killed. Marauding, rape, killing civilians. All this is in full swing in the ranks of the APU. Which is something to do with the AFU, the Ukrainian forces. Revelations of another captured defender of Ukraine. And here's yet another one. And these captured soldiers, these captured Ukrainians, are treated well. If there are medical issues, they're attended to. They give them cigarettes. They give them food. They give them a bed, a warm place. Yes, they'll debrief them. They'll interview them, but they don't hurt them. The difference is so staggering between the two. But anyway, a soldier of the armed forces of Ukraine told about his disappointment in American weapons. This is important here. The much vaunted grenade launchers, the Javelin and the Inlaw, which is English, which are very much advertised, have shown themselves to be different in practice, the captured soldier said. According to him, shells often exploded before reaching the target. And most of the batteries of missile systems were expired. The very training of the armed forces of Ukraine in handling Western weapons took place quickly, but even during the exercises, there were misfires. Because the USA and other countries in the NATO bloc are unloading old equipment on them. And it just doesn't function properly. The next one says, Russia has been fighting carefully and methodically. Naturally, any fighting near Transnistria is intended to force Moscow to rush into action, breaking their overall strategy. The Russians are well aware of this and will not take the bait. And there are a couple more here. Ukrainian militants forced the civilians of Papaznaya to participate in the battles, while they themselves hid in residential buildings, according to Russian soldiers on location. Now the troops of Russia and the Lugansk People's Republic are storming Papaznaya and rescuing citizens from the captivity of the armed forces of Ukraine. 40 people have already been freed. And here's yet another one that shows how these Ukrainians act and what they do. They are dumping their corpses, meaning their own dead soldiers. The new Zelensky law made it so that relatives do not receive any payments for the missing. Here they are, missing, lying around the fields. You can see hundreds. Our people are burying them, said a Russian armed forces soldier at Papaznaya. Papaznaya and these other towns, Kramatorsk, and oh, what's the other one? I can't think of it. This is in the middle of the cauldron. This is where so much energy is being directed right now by the Russians. And natural obstacles like rivers and lakes and stuff. Well, it seems like the Ukrainians blew a bridge that in so doing, they locked themselves into this place where they can't get out. And then there's another situation near Kharkov where there's a reservoir and about 1,000 soldiers, last I heard a couple of days ago, are backed up to it. And they're out of ammo. They cannot reply in any way. Also, I've heard that the Chechens are now getting into Kharkov. And my worry is that Kharkov could turn into another Mariupol with street fighting in the city, building to building. The Chechens are there. The Chechens are the ones who, at least more than anyone else, halfway, I'd say, at least, took Mariupol down. They are really good at street fighting, building to building, that sort of thing. But it leaves a real mess. It looks like Azovstal is being turned into rubble at this moment. I don't know what the situation is with any of the Azovs who are still there. I know they're down under. But I saw the Russians using the thermobaric munitions. And those are some of the most brutal munitions I have seen used. It's normal munitions in that it's not nuclear or anything, but this has to do with heat and fire. And to watch what they can do is pretty amazing. Here's one. It's the last one in Joaquin Flores' feed right now. He keeps coming in with new ones. Let's see. Here's the last one or one. No, there's one more, a couple more. Putin speaks with Israeli Bennett, Israeli Prime Minister Bennett, the Kremlin says. Main takeaways from Thursday's phone call are leaders stressed special significance of May 9th for citizens of Russia and Israel who honor the memory of all the fallen, including the victims of the Holocaust. Discussed the situation in Ukraine, including evacuation of civilians from the territory of Azovstal, which is what's been going on in the last several days. They called in the Red Cross for that, as if, you know, the Russians opening up a green zone wasn't enough. They know they're not going to get by. Furthermore, Putin said Russian military is ready to ensure the safe exit of civilians from Azovstal Kiev must order the militants to lay down their arms. Expressed interest in further development of friendly Russian-Israeli relations. And that, of course, is all good. This is world politics, you know. You gotta, as best you can do is get along as best you can with other countries. And, well, as we all know, things are not looking so good in that department these days. So, and then finally, Bennett noted decisive contribution of the Red Army to victory over Nazism. What we have again. Here we have one. During a U.S. Senate committee hearing with Department of Homeland Security Chief Alejandro Mayorkas speaking, Senator Rand Paul asked how the executive branch plans to define what constitutes disinformation. You have no idea what disinformation is. Do you know who is the main spreader of disinformation in world history? U.S. government, Paul said. He's the one guy who manages to stand up and make sense where I don't know where his head really is considering he's a senator too, and it's like the whole posse of them is not to be trusted. But who knows? Maybe he'll do something. He isn't wrong, is he? It ends up. And we have some video of equipment of the armed forces of Ukraine destroyed in battles with the Russian armed forces in the Kharkov region. That's what's heating up. And also, I've heard there were skirmishes going on at the border of Ukraine and Transnistria, which is not at all a surprise. This is something that we would have to expect. But whatever happens, this is important. All these people who get on the radio, and I'm not accepting myself, but all these people who get on the radio, they'll take as much as they know, because they've got it from hopefully good sources, and then they will proceed to build something into the future with it, which is known as speculation, right? You can be sure that the Russians know everything we're hearing. Nobody is better at intelligence than the Russians, unless it's the Pakistani ISI, but that may not be big enough. The Russians are some of the best intelligence in the world. They know everything. And so then we make our little speculations and we start worrying and saying things like, but this can't happen. Putin needs to do this and get really, I don't want to say upset, but get really put out over, oh, why isn't Putin doing, can't you see that, and all this bullshit. No, the Russians know it. Believe me. Trust that. Trust that fact. Okay. 2-3 and call. Da-da-da. Okay, I am recording. Okay, I'm sorry. Just looking at some things. Now, what else do I have? Because Telegram brings you everything up to the moment. That's the ASB military news that we have today. Some interesting things. Yeah. Because it's saying Kharkov is getting hammered by Russian missiles since 6 a.m. local time. It's currently 12 p.m. there, which is noon, which would have been 4 a.m. my time or 5 a.m. Eastern. So 8 hours plus 12 is 20. It's after 8 o'clock p.m. there right now. And they don't stop at night. They can see as clearly at night as they can during the day. Perhaps clearer. They got a Mnazov Nazi captured in this little video. Showing some trenches being hit. Now here's a blurb. After weeks of propaganda by the Financial Times, a newspaper that actually mostly remains factual most of the time, except for the Ukraine conflict, they now admit in an article that the sanctions the West applies on Russia will not work. They also predict that the rising oil prices will negate any profit loss Russia was projected to have from Western sanctions. Yep. Absolutely. Russia is so perfectly self-contained that they don't have to worry about this. You can't be part of us. And Russia, thank God, doesn't want to be part of the Khazar globalist thrust. Troitskoye has been liberated. They called him a sniper. Another thing they did, this was yesterday. Speaking of getting war material, weapons and everything, to the front lines in the Donbass, to the Ukrainians. What's important are the lines, the supply lines, bridges, roads, train tracks, etc. And in Dnipro, and that's on the Dnieper River, you probably know, it's where it makes a big turn. It's a little bit in the south. It's the third biggest city in Russia after Kiev and Kharkov. It's Dnipro and then Odessa after that. The Dnipro bridge was hit. And the Dnieper River is pretty big. And this is a good size bridge. What the missile did was hit one of the concrete supports under the bridge. It did not destroy the bridge. But now the bridge cannot bear the weight of trains. It can probably still handle cars going over it, but it ain't gonna handle the weight of any trains trying to go over that bridge. So. Yeah, this is where I got what I said a few minutes ago. It says, there's a large shootout at the moment on the border of Ukraine and Transnistria. It says now, Ukraine's Verkhovnaya Rada, that's their Duma, their Congress, registered a bill that would ban the Russian ruble in Ukraine. I should say Ukraine, actually, but whatever. The Ukrinform News Service reported on Thursday. The bill is seeking to amend a few laws which would ban the Russian currency in the country for the period of martial law. The changes would outlaw trans-border remittances and transfers of rubles and remove the ruble-denominated assets from civil commerce if they are owned by Russian residents or Ukrainian residents controlled by Russian residents. The bill would ban to set an exchange rate for the ruble, with the exception of, quote, determining reparation amounts to be paid by Russia to Ukraine, end quote. Why do I kind of not think that's going to happen? Actually, what's left of Ukraine will be a little rump state. I've seen the maps are getting clearer now of just how much Russia is going to take. And it's going to include Kharkov running in a line, a big line, through the middle. It's going to include Dnipro. It keeps going. It'll be Nikolaev and Kherson, and it keeps going all the way to Odessa and lands south bordering Romania. and Transnistria will be contacting that line, which might make a little needle going right up northwest. It's huge. It's a good half of what Ukraine is now. And all of this was originally Russia anyway. And all the Ukraine stuff is a product, essentially, of the 20th century and Nikita Khrushchev and the problem with Crimea and then the Donbass and everything else. But to continue what is said, it would also prohibit trading in financial instruments denominated in rubles, including the instruments on stock, currency, and commodities markets. Assets denominated in rubles would be deposited in banks without interest, but ownership of the assets would still be preserved. Well, they can law on. They can make all the laws they want. I don't think it matters a little bit. Ukrainian military struck the city of Yasinovataya in the DPR, damaged hospitals and many houses. Medical facilities along Molodzoznaya and Shkolnaya streets were damaged. Many apartment buildings in the micro district were damaged. Dawn along Shkolnaya and Orzhnikonidze streets, as well as dozens of private residential buildings along Okitya, I'm having a great time with these words, Okhchabrskaya, Krumskaya, Belinsky, Dmitrov, Chakalov, Zoya, Kosmodemyanskaya, Babushkina, Kuban, and Molodzhoznaya streets. Any Russian here me would be hysterical on the floor. All these places, all houses were left without glazing. Walls and roofs were destroyed. Talk about acts of war. That is what they're doing. They're shelling civilian areas. Why waste your bombs on people if you can use them to fight the Russians? Not that you're going to win, but maybe it's a last act of just spiteful desperation, because they're not doing well. They're not doing well at all. The morale is scraping the bottom. They're surrendering. They lost, I think, 600 soldiers yesterday. And finally, we've counted around 60 dead Ukrops from photos today. That's just what's photographed, so the losses for them are likely many-fold higher for today. That's the ASB military news. Russians with attitude hadn't written anything since yesterday. Is there something good here? He is, or they, perhaps, south of Moscow. They write in really good English, though. And there's a couple of blurbs from, yesterday, about 2 p.m. He says, an act of genocide. A witness recalls the 2014 Odessa massacre, when all those people were in the some sort of congressional building. I forget exactly what it was. And it was set on fire and they were burned to death. And many say that that was the real flashpoint of the war that we're seeing now. If you really want to look at it, Maidan was bad, yes, but it continues, and it says, RT spoke to a pro-Russia doctor from Odessa who was jailed by Ukraine for his political views. The tragedy that occurred in Odessa on May 2nd, 2014, no doubt gave impetus to the escalating political crisis in Ukraine. Many, in fact, consider it a point of no return that opened the door to a full-out civil war. But the Odessa tragedy did not only make many in southeastern Ukraine take up arms. It also made those among Ukraine's own population supportive of Russia aware of the fact that Ukrainian nationalists, the Nazis, were prepared to kill their adversaries. RT talked to Vladimir Grubnik, PhD in medicine, who participated in the Odessa protests on May 2nd, 2014, and spent over 4 years in a Ukrainian prison for his political views. He told RT what May 2nd, 2014 represents for the Russian population of Ukraine and for the Russian identity of those who live in the country's southeast. That's how he spoke it. Now, it's interesting when I notice Russians who are even writing in good English. There, I'm not going to say it's weird or bad, but there is a different syntax that gets used, which mirrors how Russian is actually spoken and how ideas are conveyed. I think it's cool. So, and when you get up to like Rybar, where I have to translate everything, this really comes to the fore. And I think the translation is a big help to that strangeness that we see. This is Pat Rabbit, and this is not for public consumption. You're listening to Revolution Radio. Like Mr. Rose said, go check out our new chat room. It's fun. There are things you can do in it that you can't do in this one. They're both different from each other. Some things about the regular one we're used to, I prefer. Some things about the new one, I also like. So, the jury's out. It's not a trial. But we're testing it. I'm going to see how. And it is very redundant in good ways. It can do things, especially with videos and things, that this one can't. You just have to put in the URL for the video and get to it that way, if you could, because some things from Telegram require a little more to do it right. And then in that chat room, you can just plop the video right in, and there it is. And what's this? See, I'm just watching. Oh, they're trying to set up a video conference. Well, that's interesting. And like I say, there's so many things you can do with this. It's kind of cool. So come check us out, and at the same time, give us a little help. If you never have, don't worry. There are no paywalls. We don't prevent anyone from receiving our content. Everyone can see it. Listen, whatever. But please know that when you are here listening, we're here because others have given to help. And what we do is we make it work. We don't take pay. We just do the work that makes it happen. And that's something we're happy to do. It's a labor of love. So, enjoy. Now, what else can I regale you with? Is there something? Another site that I am, Malia turned me on to this, but I didn't really see how valuable it was for a few. Then it started dawning on me, it's one of the best sites out there, and that is the Saker. That and South Front are very good too. They are also crowdfunded. That's what you would call us, essentially, crowdfunded. because the crowd who listens to us funds us. That's why we and they at South Front and other places, the Saker, can say what they want without being censored. Because we're not receiving money from anyone but our listeners who want to hear what we have to say. And if they don't like one host, they can change the studio. And if they don't like either, they can wait a couple hours. And we have something for everybody. And that's the fun of this place. Now, let's see. Let me refresh this window. I'm at South Front right now. Turkey bleeds from Iraq to Syria. And this is dated yesterday. Russian missiles pound Ukrainian railway substations, depriving Ukraine of main Trump card. So they didn't just hit that bridge yesterday in Dnipro. No, they're hitting substations. I think traction stations are called, because the trains, well, all diesel engines are electric, but in some countries, the diesel engines, which make the electricity for the electric motors to drive the train, in some countries, that has been dispensed with. And so they're feeding the electric motors directly from the tracks, and they need substations to generate that electricity to do it. That is what's getting hit. So they can't get materiel to the front lines. Ooh, they're getting some. And in fact, I was reading Rybar, and he was saying that there are even some airstrips that have been hit that are now being used again. Maybe they needed to have been hit harder, but whatever the problem is, Russia will be aware of it. You can bet on that. Let's see. So it's saying the M777 heavy howitzers are now in service with Kiev forces. I think those are the, some of these, they're 155mm towed howitzers supplied by the West, have arrived in Ukraine and entered service with the Kiev forces. On May 5th, a video showing Ukrainian service members firing from a M777 howitzer on an unspecified front in the Donbass region surfaced online. There's a photograph of it here, and you can bet that won't be there long. The Russians will come along and knock that out. What the Russians are using is the Molka. It's M-O-L-K-A, Molka, also known as the Peony. And this is a mobile gun that's on tracks like a tank. And unlike the Mista, the 2S19 Mista, which is 152mm, I think, this gun is over 200mm. It's a big cannon. The shells are really, really large. They're using that. They got several of them. And those movable guns are good because you can just drive them anywhere and use it instead of setting up a house. So you gotta move that thing. You gotta tow it. And, be interesting to see what happens with that, the presence of it. See, it says, this howitzer, has a maximum rate of fire of 7 rounds per minute, every 9 seconds or so, with a range of up to 40 kilometers when firing Excalibur guided rounds. The upgraded versions of the howitzer are equipped with an onboard power source, satellite global positioning, inertial navigation, radio, GDB gun display unit, and SCA section chief assembly. One thing I remember reading is that the Russians don't mind seeing some of these weapons come in and be used, because then they can study it and they learn it and they know what it can and can't do, then I guess they destroy them, but they let them be used a time or two. The Kiev forces are set to receive a total of 100 of these, 90 of which were donated by the United States, 4 by Canada, and 6 by Australia. Excuse me. Yeah, those will have to be taken care of, and I'm pretty sure all 100 will not get to the front. Okay. Well, rather than read the whole article, I just wanted to give you a taste of it. There's some maps here. I see that ding every time I get a telegram in, my phone dings. Telegram's interesting because you need a smartphone and you have to get Telegram on the phone first. And once you get it there, then you can download it to your computer also. I use it more on my computer except when I'm lying down at night. I'll use the phone. Let's see. We got some more by Joaquin Flores now. It just came in. Let's see what we have. Okay. During a U.S. Senate committee hearing with Department of Homeland Security Chief. No, I just read this. He got this from the other one, another telegram. And there's also the picture of the destroyed equipment in Kharkov. Some of these guys do that. They share these around. Interesting. There's a picture of a PayPal page. And it says, Azov's PayPal is still up and running just fine. So is their Facebook and Twitter. Do you see what's going on? Do you see what kind of plutocracy we have? Exactly. The West is behind the Nazis. That's crazy, but it's what's happening. The Nazis, who were supposed to hate the quote-unquote Jews, who were really Khazars, yet their intentions are so similar that they can't help but team up. So they are each other, whether they know it or not, essentially. It says, hashtag me too. Moon of Alabama. Ukraine forces are told to hold the line where Russia's artillery is pulverizing them. Right. And it continues. The Russian military forces are grinding down Ukrainian ground forces by extensive use of heavy artillery. The Ukrainian artillery has been destroyed or lacks ammunition. The Ukrainian forces have orders to stay in their position and to hold the line. Weird. Don't know what kind of sorcery they're expecting to come to their rescue. Here's a report off of Patrick Lancaster's page. The missing of Mariupol special report. The search is on. Journalists evacuate refugees from Mariupol. And Patrick is writing, my journalism is only funded by my viewers, so please donate. Yes, he's amazing what he does. Okay, that was just a blurb, and there's a link, so you can go to his new YouTube. And I got a big one by Rybar. Let's see what he says. This is Pat Rabbit, but not for public consumption. I hit the translate button and it's so cool. It just pops up all translated from the Russian. Which I'm learning how to read the words, but I have no idea what they mean. Briefing by the official representatives of the RF Ministry of Defense, Igor Konashenkov, as of 7 o'clock on May 5th, 2022, about a little over an hour ago, on the progress of the special operations in Ukraine. The armed forces of the Russian Federation continue a special military operation in Ukraine. High-precision air-launched missiles of the Russian Aerospace Forces hit the command post of the 24th Separate Mechanized Brigade of the AFU near the village of Loskotovka. Two nationalist ammunition depots in the Seversk region, as well as 28 areas of concentration of manpower and military equipment. This is what's going on today. Operational, tactical, and army aviation of the Russian Aerospace Forces hit 45 military facilities of Ukraine during the day. Among them, two command posts, 41 areas of concentration of manpower and Ukrainian military equipment, as well as a warehouse of rocket and artillery weapons in the Vovodka region of the Lugansk People's Republic. I don't know if I won't read the whole thing because it's kind of long and we're getting towards the end. I am totally about being positive as I can. As positive as I can. But I am totally about being realistic and seeing what is going on down to the last jot and tittle. This is Pat Rabbit. We're not for public consumption. Light, life, and love. May the spirit of goodness reach out into all space. And may the positive powers of these principles overcome all negative conditions. And may peace profound reign everywhere. So mote it be. Amen. 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 It's my favorite prayer. Yeah, Popsicle Toes, I agree, you know, because then you know where to be coming from and where to direct your positivity to see the big picture. And it's a war between good and evil. Thank you, Navy. It's a war between good and evil. And the side that's evil is the West. The evil is where we live. The evil are the Khazars. You're very welcome, Popsicle Toes. And they pretty much rule the West all over with their globalist thrust and desire to rule the whole world. Their rules-based order. No thanks. You need to have countries. People are different. We're not a bunch of, thank you, Mr. Rowe. We're not a bunch of automatons, sexless, gray. I mean, thanks, Miel. Where we just work as slaves for some sort of ruling class. This is the same thing that was going on at Atlantis 11,500 years ago. And that ended with a hell of a bang. But there is no death. So no matter what happens in the physical realm, we stay. We live. Who knows, might not have to come back in the incarnation for a long time. A lot of us don't need this. We need a better, nicer world. It's never perfect, but it can be a heck of a lot nicer than this. And kudos for Russia to standing up to it. And it's like we're all Russian now. All over the world. Y'all be good. Take care. Be well. Thank you. God bless. Pat Rabbit, signing off.
enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...